You're listening to the Business Lunch Podcast with Roland Fraser. This is your seat at the table. Welcome to Business Lunch. This is Darren Clark, the producer. And to celebrate the weekend, we've got a special bonus episode for you where you get to go behind the scenes and hear Roland talking wine with some of his guests. So we've got recommendations from Ryan Dice, Tucker Max, and Frank Kern. So let's get started with Ryan Dice, who's the CEO of Digital Marketer.
What are your top three favorite wines in the world these days?
Oh, Sloan has entered the top three.
Nice. You stole my 2006 Sloan that
I did.
Left in your care for us to share together as friends.
I was very excited about that.
That's great stuff.
I finally cracked open.
We have to go. I have to get you to meet Martha because the winemaker is super, super cool.
Yeah. I'm giving ones that, because Colgan and Bond obviously are there, but it's kind of not fair.
Okay.
Right. I think that some of these are just at a different. So I'm kind of thinking that one of the ones that I drink, because unlike you, you'll just go and open up a Colgan or a Bond because it's a Tuesday. I still have an issue with that. For me, that there's wines.
You'll get past that for sure.
There's wines that I celebrate with.
As you look at your collection, and you've got to be there already, you're going to be like, why am I drinking this thing that is good when I've got all these that are great that I really probably am never going to get to because I just don't drink that much.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not there yet. Yeah. I may get there, but I'm not there yet.
Admit that you have it.
I do. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. No, okay. I don't think I'm right, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm not arguing my case. I'm saying you're right. I'm just still going to be irrational.
Okay. So we'll say Colgan, Bond, just top three all time, and then top three that you think you like that you will drink.
Yeah.
How about that? Colgan, Bond, Sloan?
No, I mean, Sloan would kind of be in that next level. So Colgan, Bond, I haven't drank enough of the Scarecrow, but when we had it that one time,
man, that's so good.
That was absolutely astounding. Same with the Harlan.
That's
so
interesting.
All those would sort of be in there.
And I got to get you into Futo, too. That's
never had that.
Yeah.
The really like Sloan. Four Winds.
I've had Four Winds.
That is still one of my favorites. Not that crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of in that same grouping as the Donna Onda.
And also Realm. Like Realm the Bard. I don't know if you've
have it. Love it. I don't have enough of it.
Yeah.
Remember, he didn't let us. You've probably gone back a billion times since then, but I don't have enough of it that I'm drinking it often enough.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, what are the ones that I've had that are amazing? What are the ones that I drink fairly regularly because I know I can get more?
Yeah.
And so that
La Coya is pretty great that's sitting over
LaCroix
there.
La Coya is absolutely outstanding. It's kind of a tweener, though. I don't, in that it's not necessarily a top
totally
three.
Agree. Yeah.
But it's not as readily available as some of the other ones.
Yes. Yeah.
So, well, and Checkerboard would be in that same kind of grouping as well.
Yeah.
As La Coya. So there
we
you go.
Have to get back to Napa. That's what I'm getting from this.
I agree.
So if you want to hear more from Ryan, you can go back to episode 13. Okay. So next up, we've got Tucker Max.
Desert Island wine. On a desert island, you can only have five.
Oh, you get five.
You get five.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. Because we can't pick one.
So I'll go with Jacques Salos. I didn't pour it for you because we didn't have any. You had the really dry zero dosage extra brut, but the Jacques Salos Liette.
When I have my bestseller, then I get the good one.
Yes,
is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah. I'll order the good one for you. The Liette de Purée, I forget that, but he's got a couple super high end ones that are 3 hectare or whatever.
And Salos is spelled for those of who are
interested. SELOSSE.
Okay.
It's impossible to find, right? So that would be my
champagne.
So I'm going to do a whole course. That would be my champagne and my starter.
Yeah, I like it.
Right? Then I would do a Sauvignon Blanc. Man, there's so many good ones. For that one, I'll no. You know what I would do?
I was thinking you were going to go Riesling.
Well, Riesling would be next.
Okay. There's so many reds. I figured you would.
We're doing lighter and up. Yeah, it's true. So many reds. Okay, let me skip to Sauvignon Blanc.
See, that's what I was thinking.
So, no, good call. I'll go Riesling. I'll go Vader Malberg. I'll do maybe the Buschenberg or the Brackenstein. There's a couple. Or maybe a Von Winning. Mm-hmm. I'd have to debate there. But there'd be a super high-end German or Austrian Riesling there. Then third, I would do Coche de Riz, Corton Charlemagne.
Nice choice.
Then fourth, I would do... So... This is going to offend a lot of people, but I'm basing this on my experience. My super high-end Burgundy experience is not wide enough that I'm confident picking. I can go with, a DRC SHO or, whatever. I actually seriously would pick like maybe like Marcusson or Cirque. Like there's two American Pinots. They're two of my favorites.
Cirque I just got to try with you, right, which was super awesome. Which I wasn't familiar with.
The 14 was not as good as that was like a down year for them. So don't judge them on the one that we had.
No, I'm getting the vibe now that you're giving me all the kind of like the B nice wines. Yeah. Like they're nice, but they're not like,
we gotta work up to something, man.
I get it.
I made the mistake of taking my wife to a Love Madison Park on our fifth date. And then it's like all downhill from there.
That's,
right.
Oh God. That's somebody asked me, I was here in the lobby. We're at the Four Seasons in Austin. And one of the managers asked me, first, he said, "Are you with Four Seasons?" I was like, "Well, that's kind of a compliment, actually." Right. And but then when we started talking about how much I had traveled and he had, he said, "Favorite restaurant in the States,
Love Madison Park."
I said, and he was like, "He worked in New York." He's like, "Yeah, so that's funny, no question, it's without question." Okay, go
ahead. So I'm going to take Marcusson or Cirque. Mm-hmm. Those are my two favorites for Pinot, and then for a cab, again, we're going to stay in America on this. I got to give it either Colgan 100 Acre. Or Futo, or Abreu. That's so tough.
Mm-hmm.
One of those four.
Okay.
Probably gun to my head, Colgan, Tixon Hill.
That 2002, I think it was, Tixon Hill that we had.
Stunning.
Yeah.
That was astounding.
That was pretty amazing. Then are you going to go dessert wine or are you going to have a second cab?
That's five, isn't it? I had five. I had three whites. I had three whites and two reds.
You had the... Oh, because you had champagne. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That is
wine. All right. Well, so now if we have dessert and you have a dessert wine, what are you going to have?
I mean, I'm not a dessert wine guy. Probably Ekam, I guess.
Okay.
You know, like whatever, like what is 72 or something Ekam?
28.
There you go.
Yeah.
I've not had 28 Ekam. I had 28 Latour. If I had to go, Bordeaux. No, sorry, 26. 26 Latour. You thought for sure it's not good. It was the best wine I've ever had in my life. That 26
thought for sure because of the age?
Yeah, right. Although Bordeaux can age like that long.
Man, I had a... So when Opus 1 was released, I had the good fortune to... I had a restaurant in Dallas, and we had Wolfgang Puck was on our advisory board.
Yeah.
The guy that was the chef, Dean Faring, at the mansion on Turtle Creek, who now has a restaurant called Faring's in the Ritz, which is fantastic, was our executive chef. And I got invited to a dinner that was a centennial tasting. So they had a bottle of 1970 and 1870 Mouton Rothschild. And I thought the 1870 Mouton Rothschild would be
dead,
corked or vinegar or something, but it was a Jeroboam. So it had four bottles. I think it's a Jeroboam. It was freaking amazing. And that let me know that you can go back if it's stored properly a long, long ways. And it was velvet. It was just so good.
So I had the 26 at Bill Reed's place. He's out of town right now. Otherwise, we would go to his place, right?
That's right. We could take one of these.
I cannot wait to you meet him. He's a good friend of mine, the lawyer in Austin. He's got an incredible cellar. And his wife doesn't drink. So he'll pour like anyone who comes over. He loves. Yeah.
Nice.
You and I'm afraid you two, because you two are so similar. I think you'll either be best friends or won't be able to stand each other, but like it might be like a pairing that is, because he is at your level of wine.
I love it.
So if you want to hear more from Tucker, go back to episode 26. His episode is titled "Success Begins When You Solve Someone Else's Problem." All right, and lastly, we've got Frank Kern, who had a great conversation with Roland back on episode 17.
So wine, champagne, something that that we have had the chance to drink much of together and have some more, actually, that we probably should get into pretty quick.
We wouldn't want to be negligent.
What are some of your favorite alcoholic beverages these days? I won't limit it to wine and champagne.
Only to wine and champagne?
I will not limit it to
wine. Oh, you will not limit it to wine and champagne? Okay.
You go, girl.
Gosh, dude, I'm still going to have to go with like Krug Rosé as all time, even though this Jacques Cousteau is amazing. Solos is the guy's name?
Jacques Solos, yeah.
But
okay, so now it's going to be Krug Rosé against Jacques Solos. I might have a Krug Rosé here. I'm going to go and see if I can find it.
The Krug Rosé, it always traces back to you. I'm thinking about this, by the way. I'm like, you know, before I came out here to Rancho Santa Fe, I was in good shape. I was working out.
Surfing every day.
And then... it is your fault
because
you turned us on to wine.
We did, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And prior to that, it was like I didn't drink wine. I just drank liquor and beer all day.
I accept full responsibility.
Yes. Yeah. So basically, you've made me a fat slob, but not quite fat enough. So I think it's a good idea to see if we can find that thing. Yeah, but I would have to say, dude, you know, for me, it's still the Ripple. It's going to be the Krug Rosé.
Okay.
I know it's cliche as hell.
Natalia says old fashions.
Oh, for cocktails, old fashioned.
Old fashioned's the best.
Old fashioned made by Leonardo at the Ritz Paris. Like okay.
What's the liquor that goes into the old fashioned?
Four Roses.
Four Roses. Okay. Four Roses. Which we have bourbon. Here.
Yeah. So
that's
he makes
why it. You were looking at it. Okay.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, Four Roses bourbon, a little bit of carbonated water, sugar cube, and then they have their own mix of bitters and weird. Use Angostura.
Is this the Hemingway bar?
No, I don't like it in the Hemingway bar as like much. It. We are the most elitist. Ever right yeah. now. But I think that the upstairs bar is better for the old fashions.
Oh, okay.
At the Ritz. Yeah.
The one right when you go in to the left?
Yeah, to the left.
Interesting.
Yeah. Italian guy, Leonardo with the glasses, young okay. guy.
Yeah.
He makes the best ones.
Fair enough. Yeah. All right.
You've been listening to Business Lunch with Roland Frazier. If you're enjoying the show, let us know by subscribing and leaving a review. And for more information, go to businesslunchpodcast.com. Thank you for listening.